Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachamani Nivasesa Samyani Paskatyade Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Laita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So it's December 23rd, 2012, in Chennai, India. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 10. Tavadyata bhuvanyuyam Brahmakshatra sameditam Surayadvam tato yagya Swadhyaya, study of Vedic knowledge, Vrata, the regulative vows, Daninha, And those giving charity.
And those giving charity.
Okay, who remembers what the list is? What does Hiranyakashipu want to destroy? Who can tell me? He gives a list here, yes? He wants to destroy austerities. Somebody else? What else? Yajna. He wants to destroy sacrifice? Huh? The study of the Vedas. What else does he want to destroy? The Brahmanas. What else? Huh? Vratas. Vows. And what else? Daninam. Daninam means? Charity. What an evil man, huh? He wants to destroy saintly persons, good government, vows, austerity, sacrifice, and scriptural study. Do we have governments like that today? Yes. What time does the class end?
8:45.
That gives us enough time to read the purport. Okay. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. So this is Hiranyakashipu speaking. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, he's speaking to his associates, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government. So he's admitting everything is nice, and he wants to destroy that. What do we call that when you see everything's nice and you want to destroy it? Demonic, what quality is that?
Envy.
Envy, yes. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. So I'd like us to pretend for a minute that we are living on the earth at this time. How we would feel if all these demons from other planets came. They're coming from other planets. We could make a good movie of this, the attack of the demons from the other planets to destroy the Earth. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. So this was his idea. He was thinking friends and enemies. He wants to control the universe, and he's thinking, to control the universe, I must finish the demigods. So he's trying to get at the demigods from all angles. He's trying to cut off all of their sources. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu. Is he going to succeed with that? No. That's his first plan. So that with Lord Vishnu's death, the demigods would automatically weaken and die. But you think that's not enough. He's thinking, kill Lord Vishnu, you're going to cut the root. So he's right that Lord Vishnu is the root, but you can't cut that root. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. Now, we have a very interesting question here. Why would Hiranyakashipu care about the residents of the Earth?
Pious people are here.
Are we a very... I mean, look at the universe. So many planets and stars in the whole universe. This Earth is just... speck. If somebody wants to control the universe, why are they looking at this planet? We should consider, what is the importance? This Earth is so important, although it's a speck, it's so important that if you can control the Earth, you can control the universe. It's a key planet in the vastness of space. Although Srila Prabhupada says that the Earth is the lowest of the middle planetary systems, like you have the lower class, middle class, upper class, correct? So the Earth is a middle class planet, but it's the lowest middle class planet. So like if a person is in poverty and they get just enough money to make it to the middle class, just barely over the now we're moving. So that's where the Earth planet is in terms of material opulence and material facility in the universe. Materially, it's not a very high-grade planet. But it's quite important because of the yajna that happens here. And of course, Krishna comes here. The peace and prosperity of, continue with the purport, the peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chartravanyam Mayashristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. On all the planets, there are different types of residents, but the Lord recommends, referring especially to the planet Earth, which is inhabited by human beings, that society be divided into four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. So these varnas, varna means color, it refers to designations of occupation, what a person does for their livelihood, for their maintenance. So nowadays we divide occupations into categories like what? What are our modern categories of occupations? A doctor, engineer, lawyer. We have probably 1,000, 2,000 different categories of occupations, yes? So why is this system to divide all of these thousands of occupations and put them in four categories? What is the benefit? Why add another label to one's occupation? So this will be described a little later on in the purport. What is the value of doing that? Before the advent of Lord Krishna on this earth, it is understood that the earth was managed by the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. The duties of the Brahmanas is to cultivate shamaha, peacefulness, dhammaha, self-control, tatiksha, tolerance, satyam, truthfulness, shocham, cleanliness, and arjivam, simplicity. And then to advise the Kshatriya kings how to rule the country or planet. Following the instructions of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas should engage the populace in everything mentioned here. Austerity, sacrifices, Vedic study, and adherence to the rules and regulations established by Vedic principles. They should also arrange for charity to be given to the Brahmanas, sannyasis, and temples. This is the godly arrangement of Brahminical culture. So we could speak quite at length about this one section, which unfortunately we don't have the time. But it's quite interesting that each of the varnas have a different culture. One of the reasons for saying, all right, everyone in these occupations are Brahmanas, everyone in these occupations are Kshatriyas, everyone who does these are Vaishyas, everyone who does these are Shudras, is that each of those occupations flourishes best in a different kind of culture, a different way of being, a different way of acting. So there's a certain culture the Brahmanas have. Prabhupada describes this: peacefulness, tolerance, truthfulness, cleanliness, simplicity. The Kshatriyas function in a different culture. They function in a culture of Ishwar Bhav, which sometimes people think that means I want to control. Prabhupada says that means I want to protect. It's kind of the mood of a father-husband. I want to take care. I want the Kshatriyas like a big parent. They want to take care not just of a family, but they want to take care of a whole society. They have a real protection urge for people. Brahmanas also want to protect, but they want to protect knowledge. But it's a different culture. The Kshatriyas are more interested in being heroes, and the Brahmanas are more interested in being tolerant. It's a different mentality. But overall, these four cultures in society. By demarcating, you can help people be in an atmosphere that nourishes them. Just like in Ayurveda, we learned that there are different kinds of foods that are best for different people, correct? Anybody here know? Who knows about something about Ayurveda? Anybody know? Not very many of you? So in modern Western medicine, one diet for everybody. One medicine for everybody. One normal for everybody. But in Ayurveda, there's different normals. Different foods, different medicines, different way of life. So for each of the varnas, there's a way of life that is nourishing for them. And yet, Srila Prabhupada often refers to a society governed by the Kshatriyas under the rule of Brahmanas as being in Brahminical culture. Although a very small minority of the population are going to be Brahmanas and actually going to be working in Brahminical culture, why does Prabhupada refer to the whole society? It's quite interesting. Prabhupada talks about how the Kshatriyas would establish here. He's saying that they're going to establish Brahminical culture. So this, I understand this means that the heroes of society are the Brahmanas. And although the Shudras have their own kind of culture, and the Vaishyas have their own kind of culture, the Kshatriyas have their own kind of culture, they are all aiming for the Brahminical culture. In our modern society, the prevailing culture is that of the Vaishyas and the Shudras, and people are aiming towards that kind of culture. Okay, continuing with the purport. Now Prabhupada's going to switch a little bit from talking. First he talked about the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. Now he's going to talk about the last two lines. People are inclined to offer yajna because unless sacrifices are offered, there will be insufficient rain, yajnad bhavanti parjanya, which will hamper agricultural activities, parjanya anasambhavaha. By introducing Brahminical culture, therefore, again, Prabhupada's talking about Brahminical culture, a Kshatriya government should engage people in performing yajna, studying the Vedas, and giving charity. Interesting, isn't it? So the government, under the umbrella of Brahminical culture, engages all of the people in sacrifices, study, and charity. Continuing, thus the people will receive their necessities for life very easily, and there will be no disturbances in society. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ishtan Bhogam Hivo Deva Dasyante Yagyabhavitha Tairdatan Aparadhyaibhyo Yobhumte Stena Evasaha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna sacrifice, supply all necessities to man. But he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. The demigods are authorized supplying agents who act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. Now, this next sentence we're going to read answers the question we posed earlier of why divide occupations into four. So Prabhupada says, according to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yajnas are recommended in the Vedas. So if you want to tell people, take whatever activities you're doing and use this in spiritual life, they're going to ask, how? How can I use my work to spiritualize my life? What is the process? So by dividing into four, we say, okay, these people, you do it this way. 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 Going on, worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely according to different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature. And before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. Ultimately, all yajnas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yajnas known as Pancha Mahayajna are necessary. So I find this fascinating. Of all the different religious systems in the world, only the Vedic system provides for all kinds of people. If the whole world is going to be Muslim or Buddhist or Christian or Jewish, everybody would have to do exactly the same thing. That's not practical. You're not going to find that everyone in the world is going to do exactly the same thing. And of course, this is why there become so many different branches of each of this religion, because it doesn't work. But the Vedic religion is not like that. The Vedic religion says each person has their own quality, therefore they can be engaged accordingly. And if you have the Vedic religion over the whole world, there's a place for everyone. There's no reason to have these religious wars. You know, religious wars are, okay, everybody has to follow my religion the way I want to follow it, trying to force everybody to be the same. But when a time when the Vedic religion was everywhere, this was not necessary. You have this mentality that you worship in this way, and everyone's under the umbrellas of the Vedas. Okay, continuing. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. So now Prabhupada's going on to a little different topic. He's talking about what is the purpose of yajna altogether. Because a person may say, if they're an atheist, if they're just mechanistic, think everything is just a mechanical machine, why do yajna at all? Why have any kind of religion? Consider, for example, continuing, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, and sugar for persons in the mode of goodness, and also eatables for the non-vegetarians, such as meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. So the scientists are so proud. One day, we are going to create life from matter. Have they made one grain of rice? So all these big brains studying in university for 20 years. These are not foolish people. They are not incompetent people. They are the most materially intelligent people on the planet. And if they could make one grain of rice, they'd be, get the Nobel Prize, they'd be so famous, they'd make billions and billions of billions of euros or dollars or pounds or something. So they are very strongly motivated. And they've been working for decades in government-funded laboratories, business-funded laboratories, unlimited amounts of money and intelligence and time and effort and motivation, and they cannot make one grain of rice. Then again, take for example heat, light, water, and air, which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by human society. All the humans can do is pollute them. They cannot create them. They can waste them and pollute them. They can spoil them, but they cannot create them. You go to the myth. Who here has been to the Persian Gulf countries? Anyone been? Like Dubai, Abu Dhabi? Who's been? Anybody? Nobody's been. Nobody. Who has been? Nobody's gone. So they have lots of oil, but they have no water. So when the oil runs out, how will they live? They cannot manufacture water with all of their oil money. They can take the ocean water and take the salt out, but they cannot make water. Without the Supreme Lord, going on, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, or breeze without which no one can live. Obviously, to any thinking person, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord, with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. So here Prabhupada is saying, what is the purpose of all these things? So we can be fit and healthy, so we can become liberated, so we can realize ourselves. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajñas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. So just like in a business, the business owners, they're supplying so many things to the workers, correct? They're supplying salary, they're supplying a place to work, machines, so many things. An office building, some food to eat. Why? For the business of the company. And if people take the supplies from the company, if the workers take and steal it, so that's not very good. So that is the mentality of Hiranyakashipu and much of the modern world. Continuing, a society of thieves can never be happy, for they have no aim in life. The gross materialistic thieves have no ultimate goal of life. Oh, again, we could talk about this for a long time. In order to be happy, you must have a goal. A materialist has no goal. It's like an animal. What is the goal of an animal? Just to live. Just to maintain their life, that's all. The dog on the street, the bird, what is their purpose? Just to go on day by day, living. So if we are stealing from the cosmic company, the cosmic business, as Krishna as the company president, if instead of using the materials from the universal company, you have a goal. When you work for a business, there's some goal. There's some aim. You want to achieve something. But if instead, then you feel enlivened. If you're part of some mission, you're part of some organization that has some goal, you feel enthused to work for that goal. But if you're simply stealing from the business, then how can you be happy? You have no goal. Going on, they are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajñas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajña, namely the Sankirtan yajña, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. And now Prabhupada circles back to the verse. Hiranyakashipu planned to kill the inhabitants of earth. He wanted to destroy the whole earth so the yajna would stop and the demigods being disturbed would die automatically when Lord Vishnu, the Yajneshwar, was killed. These were the demoniac plans of Hiranyakashipu, who is expert in such activities. Tavadyata bhuvanyuyam ramakshatra samevitam sudayadvam tato yajya swadhyaya vratadaninaha. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. What a rascal this Hiranyakashipu is! How did he get his position? What did he do? He did tapasya. He did austerities. He took vows. He did all these things to satisfy whom? The devas. He did this to satisfy the devas, and from that he got his position. What a rascal. And now he wants to, after crossing the bridge, he wants to burn it forever. No one else can come. Only I can come. And he wants to destroy the very source of his prosperity. We call this biting the hand that feeds you. Someone is maintaining you, and you are thinking, how to usurp them. What a rascal. Even among ordinary materialists, this mentality is abominable. If someone is working in a company and his only thought is how to become the company president, this is abominable. Right? If the son is just waiting for the father to die, even a materialistic person understands that this is disgusting. And this is the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. And then he wants to destroy this whole process of yajna. But does he really? I don't know. I think he wants everyone to do yajna for him. I don't think actually he wants to destroy the process of yajna. He just wants to destroy it for somebody else. He doesn't want anyone else to use yajna, tapasa, vrata to threaten his position. And he doesn't want anyone else to be powerful except for him. So, of course, this mentality is somewhere in the heart of all materialistic people. Somewhere there's this little mentality. I want everything for me and no one else can get it. And everybody should just be sacrificing for me. That is most unfortunate. Now, Hiranyakashipu was very intelligent. He was very expert, Prabhupada says. And he understood that if he wanted to destroy any competition, he had to destroy Brahminical culture, good government, austerity, sacrifice, vows, and charity. So let's look briefly. We don't have much time. We'll look briefly at each of these. So Brahminical culture means that there are persons guiding the society who say that there is some purpose to life. And the purpose of life is liberation and self-realization. Nowadays we have, in most of the world also, people guiding the society and saying there's a purpose to life. We have teachers. And we have intellectual, philosophical leaders. In most cases, though, these persons are materialistic. So the modern Brahminical culture is coming primarily from science. Science and technology, and they say, all we are is simply a bunch of chemicals. Our only purpose is to be animals. All we are is animals. So that's the kind of guidance they're giving the society. And most religious leaders in modern society are promoting simply going to heaven. Making a nice life on earth and going to heaven. Whether they are Hindus or Christians or Muslims, basically that's all they are teaching. Sometimes they are teaching salvation. Sometimes. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to destroy Brahmins who were teaching that the goal of life is to realize that I'm a soul, that I have nothing to do with this world, and to attain loving devotion for Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu would have been very happy with the modern perversion of Brahminical culture, where the teachers and the leaders are teaching that the goal of life is to be a very happy animal. Then Kshatriya government. Kshatriya government means a government of honor and righteousness, of protection. One thing I particularly see in India, is how little, and you see this in China also, how little the government protects the people. I mean, of course, even in my country of America, the government is not very good at protecting the people. But at least we have laws so that people wear seatbelts and helmets, and there's some oversight of the food and the medicines. And here, it's like there's no safety considerations at all. Let people get injured, and who cares? You know, I've seen in Uttar Pradesh, they're digging in the road. There's just a big hole in the road, and there's no fence even. And little children are falling and dying or getting crippled. And the government doesn't think it's their responsibility to take care, even basic material things like that. Making sure there's proper sanitation and clean water. So this is a Kshatriya government, but Kshatriya government goes beyond that, beyond making sure there's proper sanitation, proper water, good education, safety for the citizens, proper health care for the citizens, and engages the citizens in sacrifice for Vishnu. A good Kshatriya government doesn't just protect the bodies and the minds of the citizens, it protects the souls of the citizens. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to have a soulless government where the people were not protected. Again, I think he would be very happy with our modern earth, where, you know, the governments of the world are corrupt, more corrupt than most corrupt. That's your choices of government. Correct? Right? You decide, which country do I want to live in? Where it's corrupt, more corrupt, or most corrupt? And you go to a country, you say, what about the government is corrupt. The next thing he looked at, here we're not looking at the Vaishyas and the Shudras, we won't discuss that. So let's look at austerity, the value of austerity. Austerity means willingness to accept difficulties for a higher cause. Everyone accepts difficulties. That cannot be avoided. You cannot say, I will have a life without difficulties. I mean, you can say that, but good luck. But austerity means I'm going to voluntarily. Now, everyone does austerities. Just like in modern society, there are people trying to lead what is the goal of life, and there is government. It's not that there's no government. It's not that there's no intellectual or philosophical leader. So everyone is doing austerities. But people today, they do austerities just to get more money. Or to have a bigger television set or something like that. To get some status in society. The austerities here were austerities for spiritual realization. We have to do austerities anyway. That is not avoidable. But the austerities, this is a funny thing. Voluntary difficulty will bring you happiness if you do it for a higher cause. Isn't that funny? Generally, we want to avoid difficulties. Let me make my life without difficulties. But even materially, we see that if I take on some voluntary difficulty for a higher cause, I become happier. If I sacrifice for my family, I become happier than if I just take care of myself. What to speak of if one does austerities for the real self. The next tier is study. And study of actual truth. Again, people are still studying, but what are they studying? How to make a better car, how to make a better computer, how to cheat the other countries, or cheat their neighbors, or something like that. But people understand, without study, how can you progress in life? But one should study, I mean, we should know how to make a better car, nothing wrong with that. But we should also study how to make a better me. How to find the best me. What is the use of a good car and a good computer if I'm not a good person? If I'm not satisfied with myself? Who in materialistic consciousness can look in the mirror and say, yes, I'm completely satisfied with myself? So the real study is to find the real self. And the real self is wonderful. We are not satisfied with ourself because we're covering our wonderful self with material dirt and misconceptions and upadis. So by proper study, we find how to awaken our real self, which is a part and part of Krishna. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. By that study, we find the real self. Then we achieve what we really want. The next is vows. So again, people are taking so many vows. I will win the Olympics. I will make, you know, one crore this year. Or ordinary vows in marriage. Sign a contract with their employer. That's a kind of vow. I'm going to go finish my education. So, but the vows we're talking about here are promises made to God for the sake of spiritual emancipation. Again, who can live without some promises? Only the lowest person. Everyone is making some promises, some contract. Why not make a contract with the person who can give us everything? We are making a contract with our spouse, with our employer, with our government. But those cannot fully satisfy us. Why not make the contract Om Purnamada Purnamidam with the complete whole? And charity. So only the miser. The miser is condemned by everyone. Doesn't give in charity. Everyone else is giving something to others. And we all know that there's more happiness in giving. Isn't that also interesting? If I have money and I spend it for myself, maybe I'll be happy. If I spend that same money for someone I love, I feel happier. You've experienced it. So charity given to the right source with the right mentality brings much more happiness than everything kept for oneself. And again, pretty much, most people, they're giving something in charity to somebody. They're sharing. Charity means sharing, giving. Even you're sharing among your brothers and sisters, your family members, your society. But again, why not give charity to the best source? Why not give in such a way, not that we just get a little bit more happiness, but we can get unlimited happiness. And the final one, which Prabhupada talks about at length, is yajna, sacrifice. In one sense, you could say that all of these, austerity, study, vows, charity, or you could say in one sense, they're all kinds of sacrifice, they're all kinds of giving. My dear friends, the essence of existence is sacrifice. Prabhupada's quoting a lot from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which deals a lot with sacrifice. And a key verse there, an amazing verse. If one understands this verse, you'll open up the key to your whole life. It's in 15. Sarva Gatam Brahma. Sarva means all. Gatam, place. Brahma, spirit. Spirit, which is everywhere. How are you going to find the spiritual, which is everywhere? Nityam, always. Yajna, in sacrifice. Pratistitam, is staying. The all-pervading, eternal, transcendence. It's always eternally staying in yajna. Yajna means giving. Voluntary giving. We talk about this as our Sanatan Dharma. To be a servant. What does servant mean? You're giving. Master means you're taking. Servant means you're giving. We are all givers. And even the Supreme Master Krishna, he is giving. What is he giving? Prabhupada's listing. Grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, heat, light, water, air. Metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese. Krishna's giving, 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 giving. And we are also made to be givers. Hiranyakashipu wants to stop this giving. That is not possible. We are all givers. And as Krishna becomes happy by giving unlimitedly to unlimited jivas, so we become happy also by giving. We simply have to know where to give, to whom to give, in what mentality to give. What Hiranyakashipu is trying to do is impossible. Just like in modern society, there are still intellectuals, there are still government, there is still charity, there is still austerity, there is still, these things are still there, they haven't gone away. They're just being done wrongly. It's like if a person, instead of eating to the mouth, they're putting the food in the ear. But taking and putting the food is still happening. So we should examine, I am already giving. Must be, that is my nature, I'm already doing yajna. Think about our life. From the time we wake up in the morning until we go to bed, we are giving. I'm giving my time to my body, washing it, cleaning it, brushing it, feeding it, clothing it, resting it, and giving my time to my family, and giving my time to my nation, to my work. So many things. I'm giving, 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 giving. We need to find the one switch that lights everything, in which all of our giving can actually be satisfied. Even in giving to this body, to my family, to my nation, to my business, if I know the secret, I can actually give to Yageshwar. I can say, Krishna, I'm cleaning this body because it's your body. I'm brushing my teeth because these teeth belong to you. I am putting food in this body to keep it fit and healthy, as Prabhupada says here in the purport, for your service. I am giving to my family members because they are your parts and parcels, to make you happy. I am trying to please my husband, my wife, my children, so you will be pleased, not so they will be pleased independent of you. I am working nicely at my job so you will smile at me. So we are doing all of these things. Hiranyakashipu, any, they cannot stop it. So we should examine, how am I giving? How am I doing yajna? Who, for whom am I doing the yajna? For what purpose? Prabhupada says, without a purpose, one cannot become happy. What is my purpose in giving? Notice first, I am giving. Try today to notice, I am giving, I am giving, I am giving. And then think, to whom am I giving? What is my purpose in giving? What is my aim? And if we have the right object and the right aim, then we will become happy, even in this world. And because that is internal, no Hiranyakashipus can stop that. So Hiranyakashipu had two foolishnesses. One is that he could stop it externally. That's not possible. Everyone is still going to give and sacrifice and perform austerities. That's not going to stop. And the other, he doesn't realize the real vrat, the real study, the real tapasya, the real yajna is internal. It is what is one's aim and what is one's object. And that we can do even in this Kali Yuga, moment by moment, and then we will achieve perfection, no matter what any Hiranyakashipu on this planet or other planets wants to do. So sorry, this was a very, very long purport. I guess no time for questions. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.